We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Gets inside, left-handed off the glass. Oh, what a sweet move.
Giddy, tough spot, back door. What a pass, what a play. And J-Dub picks the pocket of Trae Young. He'll take it himself.
This isn't Dart. You're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up, and welcome to the Uncontested Podcast, coming to you live Sunday, March 10th. Right on the heels of another Thunder victory tonight against the Memphis Hustle, because it was a G League team out there, 124-93. We've got a whole show for you guys tonight. Before we dive in, though, we are proudly brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network, Dave's Hot Chicken, and Spark OKC. I'm your host for the evening, Jacob Niffen. Got my guy, J.D. Silva, in the house.
Fellas, I'm here for Shai Hulud.
We got Dune Justin too. Peabody.
Hello, everybody.
Taylor Peterson is here tonight.
Nothing brings me more joy than the Thunder just continuously beating the brakes off the Memphis Grizzlies ever since that just bloodbath of a game that poor Silva got to cover a couple of years ago. It's been fun.
Thank you for your service, sir.
You're welcome.
No Nick Crane tonight. He is in Mexico, probably with the cartel. So
good luck, Nick.
Lots of folks in the live stream already. If you are in the live stream tonight, what's up? Drop your comments, drop your questions. You know, we got the Dave's Hot Chicken hot take of the night tonight. So get your hot takes in there. We're going to choose our favorite to win some stickers. Also, while you are here, please drop a like on that YouTube video. Got a testimonial tonight, boys. The folks that sit next to me in Paycom Center leaned over and said, "Hey, I was on YouTube the other day, saw my recommended for me page, had a Thunder podcast, clicked on it, saw your face." So your likes.
I know that guy.
Your likes on the video are working. The algorithm is algorithming. And it is getting us views elsewhere. Amazing. So please continue to hit that like button if you're on the live stream or if you're watching a YouTube video later on. If you listen to the podcast version, thanks so much. Make sure to drop that 5-star rating there as well. And some news, boys. News Speaking boys. Of the sponsor, the news, isn't that like a Christian rock band?
It is indeed.
We are not going to play News Boys on this podcast.
I didn't even know that.
We are...
You can play the Doo-Doo Boys on this podcast.
The Doo-Doo Boys.
Thank you. That's what Nick is saying to the cartel right now.
Yeah. Working on that new sponsorship for the Uncontested.
Yes. What, the cartel?
The Uncontested, the official Thunder podcast of the Mexican cartel.
Hey, we'll move some cocaine if it pays the bills. I mean, right. Boy. So the news. Sponsor of the podcast, Dave's Hot Chicken, is going to be hosting the official Uncontested watch party coming up on April 5th. That is a Friday night away game, 6 p.m. against, is it the San Antonio Spurs? Am I correct in this in saying the San Antonio Spurs there?
I was really hoping you had that.
You might be correct.
Sounds right.
April 5th.
Pacers. It's the Pacers.
It is the Indiana Pacers, April 5th. That is a Friday night, 6 p.m. If you are in the Oklahoma City or greater area, or hell, if you're from out of town, it doesn't matter, come up, hang out with us April 5th at Dave's Hot Chicken in Bricktown, Oklahoma City. We will be eating food, hanging out, cheering on the Thunder. They have tons of TVs. Probably going to have some food and drink deals going on. We're going to record a live podcast from there. We'll probably have some stuff to give away. So come hang out with all of your Thunder friends. Make some Thunder friends. Come hang with us for idiots. We'll probably be there. And we will live pod afterwards so you can hang out and listen to the pod live out on the Dave's Hot Chicken patio right in front of Harkins Theater. Gentlemen, it's going to be awesome, and I absolutely cannot wait. People might come up to me and say, hi, I listen to the podcast and want to shake my hand, and I'm going to have a tender in each hand and be unable to shake.
Or they might want to rub your head based on what the chat is.
Yeah, I was almost about to make that joke.
If you touch my head, I'll beat your ass, all right?
Jacob, you're a double tendy guy.
Tendy in each hand, my guy.
Going double tendy?
Double fisting.
Okay, we're not going to say that phrase ever again. The Thunder played the Memphis Grizzlies tonight and beat the brakes off of them. So, in typical post-game fashion, what are you guys' big takeaways, big performances, big thoughts, etc.?
When you shoot 21 of 47 from three, 44.7% on the night, that'll do. Seems like a good way to win a basketball game.
That'll do.
Especially when you hold the opposing team to 33% from the field. It was just great to see the Thunder take care of business against the Memphis Hustle, because this team was not great. When you're starting, I love G.G. Jackson. I actually got him on my fantasy team, picked him up here like a couple months ago. Really fun player. He's huge. Like, seeing him next to Shea, it's kind of crazy. All that being said, when he's your starting point guard, you probably have a lot of injury concerns. And one thing I kept thinking about this Memphis team, kind of going off topic a bit here, is like, even when Desmond Bane, Ja Morant, and who's the other player?
Marcus Smart.
Yeah. Newly acquired Marcus Smart, who they barely got to see with the team. Like, even when they're back, this team just has very little depth. And I don't see them being a top team in the West like they were there, you know, playing against the Warriors in the play-in a couple of years ago. So it was just great to see the Thunder take care of business.
I think it was fun to see Cason Wallace do a little pizzazz.
New career high, right?
Yeah, career high. He had
22 points on 9 of 14 from the floor and 4 of 6 from 3, which is pretty incredible.
It was awesome.
Alongside 4 assists, 2 rebounds. Only had one block, but
yeah. Then Mark kind of said we were all thinking where like empowering Cason, especially in this upcoming summer, to do more of that on a regular basis is going to be huge. And he's kind of showed tonight. I have personally kind of forgotten what he was doing early in the season when he was just shooting like lights out all the time. And it's like, wow, having that extra scoring off the bench regularly is fantastic. And this guy's phenomenal on defense. I think it's easy to forget about Cason whenever you have.
Yep.
Other guys, you know, your Kenneth Williams, your Gordon Haywards, we hope, your Aaron Wiggins, et cetera, Isaiah Joe. Cason's really good.
He's really good. And I wonder what he looks like in a couple of years, JD. Like, imagine Cason with 10 more pounds of muscle and like a 23-year-old.
That sounds scary.
He's going to be awesome. He's going to be awesome.
Another guy I feel like we have to talk about, and Jacob, it's somebody that you and I touched on the Friday night show. Josh Giddey continues to stack good games. Another great performance from Giddey. 16 points, 10 boards, 4 assists, 7 of 15 shooting, 2 steals, and only 1 turnover. Really, really good basketball. And I think now this is 4 games in a row I can feel pretty good about from Josh Giddey. Like, that's a streak, brother. How are we feeling about this, Jacob? The people want to know.
Tonight was the best one in a while, right? And it was like, it was the physicality.
Yep.
I mean, he made Jake LaRavia look like a little boy. Put that shoulder into him and tried to run him over multiple times. Jake LaRavia just had a rough night. Got bulldozed by Josh. I think tried Chet four times, and all four times it ended very poorly for Laravia. But Josh just had his foot on the gas from the word go, just was like insanely aggressive.
Like that's a few games now recently where he's come out very aggressive.
He had the play where the Thunder, I think, maybe got a turnover, the hit ahead to Josh, and he just like in the middle of catching it, swung it, that gnarly bounce pass cross court to Kaysen for the dunk.
That was beautiful.
Like he had himself a night, and not only is it stacking games, Justin, but it's also building confidence. Mm-hmm. He looked more confident tonight than I've seen from him in a very long time. Totally. Like the dude was just kind of feeling himself. He had that one play in the third quarter where he came down and went behind the back and then flipped it the other way to Kaysen in the corner. And I like said out loud, I haven't seen Josh have that kind of sauce in a long time.
Well, it's hard not to be confident.
Josh with the sauce.
When you're starring in the number one movie in America right now. So he's got a really good right. on all cylinders.
You guys talked about on Friday how even like, not just the play, but like emotionally, he's showing more. He's expressing himself more. Mm-hmm. And he's expressing himself like in these plays. He plays so well when he kind of like mucks it up a little bit. In the muck. Creates.
Did you rip that?
No, because we're just sounding off here. He plays great when the defense is scrambled, when he just starts bodying people. It's just a different style of play than everyone else. And I love when he plays with that much like physicality.
Yeah. I don't know, guys. I'm a little disappointed that Josh wasn't able to get the triple-double against the...
Come on, Taylor.
Obviously kidding. I've been extremely excited about Josh. And you all mentioned his last five games. I went ahead and pulled it up. 13.8 points per game, 6.2 rebounds per game, 4.6 assists per game. And something that stood out to me that like really surprised me, shooting 40% from three on three attempts per game in the last five. He is just absolutely finding it. And something that you mentioned, Jacob, is immediately the thought I had watching him in that first quarter. He just seems like we're seeing the flashy plays again. He's making, but they're still the right reads. He's not forcing anything. He just has that confidence back. Mm-hmm. And he's absolutely confident in his game. Obviously, teams not having their opposing big man or opposing center guarding him kind of has led to this confidence, which I honestly think is a great thing. And makes me more excited to see the next team that guards him with the big, because with his newfound confidence and the style of play that he's playing with within the flow of the offense, I think he could really make an opposing team pay for having a bigger defender out there on him. I can't wait to see that again, just based off how Josh has been playing over these last five or so games.
Yeah, I hope he can continue stacking games, because what we've seen from the past four is really good. And if he comes online at this time of the year, that's bigger than any trade deadline act.
Like live, like right? In our comments when we're going live on the live stream, or yes, like
100%
Twitter.
I really am excited for the Mavericks game. I want to see him carry this streak into that game. Because
you remember how ugly the last Mavericks game was for him?
Like flip that on its head.
Yep.
We'd love to see that.
Yeah, if he can get it going against the Mavs, I will be in attendance for that one. Friday, I'm going to be dragging ass at work.
Yeah.
That game tips at 9:30 local time. That's going to be a rough one.
Which is weird with two central time teams. Like usually we see. Yeah,
it's the West Coast game though. They got the second game on TNT.
Yep.
I don't know who plays the first one, but terrific performance by Josh. I loved seeing him just step on the gas right as the tip goes up and just try to beat the brakes off of Memphis. I loved the aggression. I love what we're seeing. I hope these games continue to stack and we do not see like a regression, because what we're seeing right now, I think, is super important for this team.
Something that Dignall mentioned post-game as well that I just found interesting was unprompted. He was just asked in general about Josh and how he's been playing recently. And as like specifically tonight, and he mentioned like towards the end of his comments about him being more aggressive, the things we already have touched on, but he said that he's competing defensively. And that's something that's been a weak point for Josh this season. Yep. And so we're seeing that translate on the defensive side of the ball as well when he's playing like this offensively. That is pretty significant for both Josh and this Thunder team. So hopefully he can continue to perform defensively, compete defensively on the perimeter especially, because I think that's really important for Josh and this team moving forward.
Something else. It's quick. We can talk about J-Dub really quick. Probably.
No thank you.
Or we can talk about how Lu Dort just doesn't miss anymore, I guess.
We should probably touch on Dub.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty significant thing from this game.
Twisted the old ankle.
On the cameraman.
A couple times.
On the cameraman.
What the hell, cameraman?
Get out of the way.
I don't blame the cameraman. I blame the NBA.
Yes, thank you.
Move the cameraman back. It doesn't need to be right there.
Agreed.
Completely. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
It's the year of our Lord 2024. Get like
it's Mario Day
down there.
Right. Now, one promising thing, Mark mentioned postgame, we'll see how he feels tomorrow morning, which I think is a much better sign than if he said, yeah, we'll get him tested tomorrow morning or we'll reevaluate.
This isn't an Albert Shengun, folks. So, we're a little better than that.
Right. So that's promising, at least.
Yeah. They definitely need him for this upcoming week. Pacers on Tuesday is a big one, even though
Benedict Mathurin out for the season.
Yes, Ben Mathurin's out for the season. But then that Thursday game against Dallas feels like a pretty big game. It's on TNT. You really want Dub to be healthy and ready to go for that one as well. So hopefully it's a quick turnaround for him. Just a little aggravation of the ankle, can get some treatment over the next couple of days and be ready to go. So, and get the cameraman out of there.
Hey, Dub was playing great. He tweaked that ankle early on in the game. Thankfully, it wasn't serious. He stayed in the game. I immediately hit a three-point shot off a beautiful dish from Josh Giddey. I thought he was playing really well up until, obviously, that second tweak of the ankle there.
JD, you mentioned Dort.
Yeah, I think we're firmly
in the old fire truck.
Yeah, I think we're like firmly in the Oasis territory on the Mirage to Oasis scale. The three-point shooting and then the shot diet and the Lu Dort experience is just real and very positive. And he's just like almost always a plus. Like we've had a couple games the last month or so where he just can't hit the broadside of a barn, but more often than not, he is awesome. And he's not going to shoot 4 or 4 from three like every night like he did tonight, but nice to have that kind of guy out there.
He's shooting 40% from the floor on the season, or from three, sorry, on the season. And he's in the top 50 for made threes this season, which is kind of crazy. I forgot who tweeted that out earlier, but I took down those notes because, like you mentioned, Silva, this is not just a blimp on the radar. It's certainly some consistency we're seeing from Lou from three, which is going to be so huge when it comes to playoff time.
Did we just say a blimp on the radar?
A blimp on the radar.
Yeah, yeah.
There's all kinds of things on radars, Justin.
Yeah, I mean, all sorts of things. That's a phrase.
A blimp
could be on a radar.
Zeppelins, World War II bombers. Lou finished tonight 14 points, 100% shooting, 2 rebounds, no assists, 2 steals. One of those steals. There were just some possessions tonight where the Thunder, like, quite literally just had Memphis in hell. Like, Shea was just dogging the dog crap out of somebody. I don't know, because I watch a lot of basketball. There's some dudes on that Memphis team that I've never heard of before. Like the French dude who sounded like some philosopher from the 1700s. What was his name?
I don't know.
I was shocked when I saw Wenyen Gabriel come out. Like, I didn't realize he was in the league.
Dejan Giroux.
Yeah.
You tell me he wasn't around back with Jean-Jacques Rousseau?
That's like when the Thunder were throwing out Gabriel Deck. Like,
yeah.
There's dudes that I've never heard of, but they had him in hell. That possession, Shea was hounding somebody. The dude was at that near half court, tried to run a handoff, and Lu Dort just split it like a linebacker blitzing the quarterback, intercepted the ball, went down and got the huge dunk. Just incredible stuff. He's been everywhere. He's been freaking awesome. And yeah, I think Coach talked about in post game. They asked about, I say they, somebody from the beat asked Mark Daigneault about Dort and about the shot diet and what went into him shifting his role. And Coach said that wasn't a conversation. He showed up this summer back to Oklahoma City driving that car. He's the one that decided to do that after some self-reflection. I was like, That's the type of shit you want on your team, man.
Right?
Was the
like, you don't have to go and say, "Hey, you're shooting bad shots." When you He recognized it. He came back and he said, I'm going to dial back my role.
Was like, the self-reflection just watching Dylan Brooks get flamed all playoffs last season?
Probably doesn't hurt.
Like, I don't want to go
doesn't
on that
hurt
path,
at all.
I think so.
You're right, though. I mean, there's so many. Obviously, there's an infamous quote from Presti talking about drafting people over just drafting players. But like, that's a perfect example. And there's another quote post game. This one's from Kaysen Wallace. And I forgot to mention that we were touching on Kaysen, but he said when he was talking about, you know, what the kind of player he wants to become in the league. And obviously we all think here that Kaysen's just scratching the surface of that. But he said, everybody wants to score nowadays. Who's going to be the one to stop them? And I just like,
let's go.
Yeah.
Sounds like a dad. Like, all people want to do is score nowadays.
100%. It sounds like something my dad would say. Two other guys I feel like need their love, need their recognition. Because the benches, after kind of a poo-poo performance out on the West Coast, have come alive when we're back in Oklahoma City. Maybe that's not a huge surprise because bench guys play better at home. But Justin, I'll let you choose who we talk about next. We can go the big dog himself, Jay Will, or we can go the man that's turning the corner, Gordon Hayward.
Hey-o. Let's start with the big dog.
What's the dog doing?
You said it of like, yes, bench at home is always going to be better in general, especially on a young team, though, than bench on the road. But Jay Will coming back, I don't think you can separate those two things. Like, I don't think it's a coincidence that Jay Will returned and the bench started playing better. He just continues to do like the little things. And I think that his IQ shines through in every game that he's on the floor. And that's something the Thunder, like, you can't overstate the value to that bench unit of having a guy like that. I think we've probably crowned 17 Nick Collison replacements for the Thunder team over the last like 4 years, but it's that same type of idea, right? He fits that archetype a little bit in terms of just being on the floor and making the right play when he's out there, setting other guys up and being a complimentary piece that you can count on. He's doing it again now that he's back from injury.
The Jerry energy that walked brings so that Jay Will could fly.
Yes.
The energy that he brings is unmatched. It is awesome. He is all over the place. Had a dunk tonight. There was a lineup there in that second quarter that featured, again, he and Chet. And Jay Will drew two charges. And I was trying to think about it from an opposing player's perspective. You drive the lane and you see Jay Will and you start to think like, I got to avoid this charge. I got to stop and float it up. I can't go as hard to the rim. Whatever, right? I got to be more delicate when I get in the lane. You get delicate around the basket, Chet Holmgren's going to throw your shit to the fifth row. Like, that pairing is kind of scary defensively at the rim. Yeah. And then you start worrying about Chet. So I need to go in there like really hard and try to get through the skinny dude. And then Jay Will's just ready to get bowled over and get the turnover. Like, it's actually like a kind of fun defensive combo.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, he's just very valuable. And I think I kind of took it for granted a little bit. And I feel like in previous seasons, it was kind of Kenrich being the guy off the bench that would keep the tempo up, keep the offense moving, keep the game physical. But it feels like Kenrich has taken a little bit of a backseat in that role this season. And it's been like Jay Will stepping up and kind of naturally being like the backup center, backup four guy and doing that same job really well.
JD, do you know that meme of it's like Master Splinter and the four baby turtles? And then the next frame is the four badass turtles with old Master Splinter.
Of course.
Kenrich is Master Splinter in that.
What does it mean that I think Kenrich is the same age as Taylor and I? What does that mean for us?
No, it means you're cooked, bro.
Great.
I think Justin and I are the same age as Muscala.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mike making his OKC return tonight. First time to play since the reacquisition. So good for him.
Yep. Yeah. Got a nice ovation, which was great to see.
Mm-hmm. And then missed every shot.
That's fine.
He's just like me for real.
Gordon Hayward tonight, gentlemen, played 18 minutes. That is the second most off the bench behind Cason Wallace, who played 27. Cason played a lot because he started in place of J-Dub in the second half. Hayward tonight, 5 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 of 3 shooting. Justin, we talked about it Friday. On Friday against the Heat, I said before tonight, I would have said the Portland game was his best game. But the Miami Heat game replaced that. I don't know if tonight was better than the Heat game, but he looked more comfortable tonight than the Heat game. Some of the plays he was setting up, he was like driving in, collapsing defense, and just spraying to shooters. He's starting to find his groove. We knew it would take some time. We told everybody to pump the brakes and give it some time. I took my foot off the brake a little bit, not going to lie. But we're getting there, and it's looking really good. He's not going to be a 20-point-a-night kind of guy, but he's just fitting in so well. And I think defensively, he's been solid.
I agree. He said Justin, so I thought you were going
We Justin already talked about it on Friday.
That is
true. I think that he's doing exactly what you hoped he would be doing at this point, right? It was maybe a little slower than some people expected, but like this guy's coming back from, you know, a decent stretch of being out from injury. It's expect, and he's old, so it's expected. But again, just like the conversation on Giddy, if he keeps stacking games like this, it's going to feel really nice heading into the postseason. I know we had a conversation a few weeks ago about like, whoa, was he really just a trade chip? Like we're starting to get some real on-court value from Gordon here.
So the way Gordon is playing, I find this really interesting. But tonight, there was a bench lineup in towards the end of the first quarter, I believe, that played extremely well, allowed the Thunder to continue to be able to torch Memphis from three. And Gordon Hayward and Kenrich Williams were essentially the two, quote-unquote, bigs for the Thunder in that lineup. And I think the way that Gordon has been playing tonight with those six assists and those 3 rebounds, all defensive rebounds, like you all mentioned on your post game a couple nights ago, and him being able to compete defensively, it just allows the Thunder to really go all in on that brand, which is versatile players, 1 through 5, who can spread the floor but do so much offensively and defensively, and really play to their strengths. And that's where we saw that second unit really take a huge step for the first time in a couple of games, really, even with Jay Will coming in and playing well ever since he's been back from injury. Like, I find that fascinating, that lineup that Dignall threw out there. And I think that's only possible because what we have been talking about with Hayward and how he's been performing over the last 3-4 games.
It does feel like the field goal attempts are going to be the last thing for him to add on, but it is nice to see him make progress in literally every other category. Like the assist is really nice. Jacob said he was driving and kicking. He's like understanding that part of the offense a lot more clearly. I don't think he took his first shot until like midway through the third quarter. Mm-hmm. Just get, you know, a little more of that the first half. It'll be good.
But yeah, JD, I don't know if you've noticed this, but whenever he catches at the 3-point line, if he shows, dudes are jumping.
Yes.
Like he's got that gravity and he's done a lot of show and go, drive in, and then that's where he's been able to play make. It's going to be really exciting to see how his role continues to grow over these last, is there 18 left?
18 after games, yep.
So, other thoughts from this Memphis game? I mean, I'm surprised we were able to talk this much about it. It was such just a bloodbath.
Yeah.
No, Thunder good, Memphis bad, and we could have been out of here in 30 seconds. Before we go to our first break of the night, we have our own little advertisement to pump.
Ooh.
Because my man Justin Peabody has been in the lab. He's had the little cooking. Doctor's coat on.
He the has goggles been
cooking straight
the mask heat. Like straight out like Breaking Bad.
I want the vast amount of people in the live stream right now to know that as Justin makes this reveal, if you go ahead and order while we're on the stream tonight and send me a screenshot, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, I will mail you free stickers.
Yeah.
I will mail you free stickers to go along with the rest of this heat that we are dropping tonight. Those of you on the live stream are the first to set eyes on this. We will we'll probably tweet it after the pod tonight. Justin, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Which one do we start with?
That's up to you.
I think we,
you're the master.
You are the cooker, the PhD, the mastermind. Okay. So it's up to you.
All right. Let's get a little foreplay before the main course.
Hello. Okay.
Shirt number one coming to the stage. We have a little retro rumble tee.
Yes. That
this is
awesome.
One I've been kind of had in the chamber for a while. I've been wanting this to be wrapped up for a long time, but I love it. Look at this sweet little fella. He's got his chest puffed out. Little retro rumble illustration here.
It says, love it.
The city basketball outside. Can't go wrong. Fun for the whole family.
That coloring, just perfect.
That coloring, so nice. All right, that's number one. You ready for number two?
I am.
Number two.
Yes.
Holy shit. Taylor was a big proponent
of this
one.
I've been on this for like the entire season, and it's perfect.
It took me a long time to figure out what does a Holy Chet shirt even look like. And this is what I came up with. Mildly sacrilegious. But
no, it's straight heat.
But goes kind of hard.
I think our podcast is mildly sacrilegious.
Yeah. We should put that in the description.
A mildly sacrilegious podcast.
And number three, my favorite, my personal favorite. Cook this up today. The dogs. Can we get some barks in the chat, please?
What the dog doing?
We have the OKC dogs. Up next, of course, we had
cool.
to illustrate the Jaylens as literal dogs in their OKC jerseys. And now you can wear that on a shirt. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're not seeing these on the screen, go to the Cotton Bureau shop right now. Hopefully you like what you see.
We will also tweet these out. You guys, if you go order these while we're on the stream tonight, again, shoot over a screenshot of your order. And I will mail you out some stickers as well to go along with your shirt. And then wear your shirt April 5th to Dave's Hot Chicken.
Yeah.
Friday night, 6 p.m. as we have the official uncontested watch party. It's going to be freaking awesome. Cannot wait. Let's take our first break of the night. On the other side, we'll talk a little bit more about Dave's Hot Chicken.
Woof, 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 woof.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we are back. Gentlemen, it is time for that Dave's Hot Chicken hot take of the week. The East Hollywood pop-up sensation turned fast casual superstar, Dave's Hot Chicken, now serving Oklahoma in Bricktown, Edmond, and soon to be in Chisholm Creek. Their mouth-watering sliders and tenders are offered at 7 spice levels, ranging from no spice all the way up to Reaper. Her JD's a Reaper type of guy.
Wrong.
Each piece of hand-breaded chicken is spiced to order using a blend crafted specifically for its heat level, or no spice at all, along with house-made coleslaw, creamy mac and cheese, crispy seasoned fries. And make sure to try the new Dave's Not Chicken. Those are cauliflower slices that taste just like Dave's Hot Chicken, but they're not. They're cauliflower. Visit Dave's Hot Chicken in Bricktown right next to Fuzzy's Taco Shop before or after your next Thunder game, or on April 5th at the official Uncontested Watch Party. Gentlemen, it is time for some hot takes of the week. As we do every Sunday, chat, get your hot takes in the chat as well. Make sure you write hot take and then put your take in there. We'll read some of our favorites, and the one that we like the most will win some stickers tonight. Gentlemen, what are your hot takes?
How about this? How about against the Mavericks on Thursday? Josh Giddey scores more than 23 points.
Ooh.
Okay.
And gets his sweet, sweet revenge, something I love.
I'm going to give you some extra hot there. That's a little extra spice.
Okay. I like, love I almost it. Said 25, but I took it down too to 23. You know,
that was a weird choice.
Yeah, didn't want to get crazy.
I'm also going to go extra hot. I think that that level of scoring would surprise me. Maybe if J-Dub is still out, that becomes more of a possibility, but I would love to see him continue to stack good games. That just feels like a little much.
I think extra hot is probably the right take here. 23 is a lot of points. And I worry that if he does get to the 23, it's because he's like playing trash minutes at the end of the game or something like that. So I'm going extra hot on this one, JD. I like the boldness, though. I appreciate
agreed.
It. Not just coming in here with some of that light, mild stuff.
Yeah. I would love to see Josh, you know, flip the script on a team that's tried to exploit him this season. Would love to see that. Good opportunity Thursday.
So my hot take was also Josh Giddey. So this feels like a natural segue. I was going to say Josh Giddey gets a triple-double this week. The guy, the meme, giddy, 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 triple, double, triple, double. Like, let's make it happen.
Knicks guy, yeah.
Right? Let's bring it back. If we're stacking games, that is the logical next step. Let's get a giddy triple, double on the books.
I love it.
I'll go hot on this one, Justin. Tonight felt like the night, and he might have got there had they not just abused the Grizzlies. I was about to call animal control, honestly. tonight might have been the night, but he didn't play enough minutes.
Yeah, and even then it seemed like the assist cooled off for the most part, just given the style of play and lamps out there. I'll give you hot. I like that.
Yeah, I'll give you hot also. I wish I could. I was like, let me be a contrarian and go a mild or a reverse or like that. No. I actually think the Pacers game is like a pretty good opportunity. They're pretty light on their perimeter defense.
Yeah. And especially like if J-Dub misses that one.
Exactly.
With the ankle probably leads to more balls in Giddey's hand.
Stop it, Taylor. I saw yourself like kind of pause there. You're like, do I go forward with it? I'm going to do it.
I saw the look in your eye, Taylor.
Josh getting
that twinkle.
Unbelievable.
Justin thinks Josh Giddey's going to be like that halftime performer on Friday.
Dude, that guy was incredible.
He went viral.
He did go viral.
I think I missed that.
He was next red balls with my mouth.
He was juggling ping pong balls with his mouth at center court.
It was very impressive.
And hats and like all kinds of stuff. Anyway.
Moving on.
Carry on.
Mine is also related to J-Dub potentially being out. Now, given Mark Daigneault's comments after the game, which we touched on earlier, maybe this is a little more hot because when I originally came up with this, I was thinking Dub may be out like for the next week or so. But I have Gordon Hayward scores 20 plus points in a game this week. His first 20 piece with the Thunder. And my thought process there is obviously with Dub out, I think it's a great opportunity for Josh Giddey, like you all mentioned. He even tried to come up with a hot take there, but decided to go elsewhere. I think Cason Wallace, another great opportunity for him with dubbing out. It was Cason Wallace who stepped in there to start second half. Probably is what we see against the Pacers coming up if Dub is not available to play. And then like guys like Aaron Wiggins as well, somebody else I keep thinking of. But I think this is Hayward's opportunity to really be able to take on more of a scoring role And something tells me if he gets it going early in a game, early in the first half, he'll get that first 20 piece with OKC.
Give me extra hot.
Yeah.
Give me extra hot. Only because I just don't. I think it's going to be a while. Like, he just doesn't seem like. Maybe it would require just some shots to fall early, and then that just like unlocks his mind and he starts taking more shots. But I just think he's like comfortable just feeling it out and doing all the marginal stuff for now. But I would personally love to see it. I predicted something similar to this 3 weeks ago, and I think he scored 20 points in like six total games. So if he could do it once, it'd be great.
Stuff was burned. I think this one's extra hot as well. But Taylor, I do want to know, if you're thinking this for Gordon with Dub out, are you thinking that Gordon gets the nod at the start?
No, because I think it'll be Kaysen. Okay. But if he's playing well early on, see those shots fall, I think Dayton's going to keep him in. And maybe we see him start like a second half.
That's Nick fair. Says Hayward with the Dave's hot chicken 20 piece. If you eat 20 pieces of Dave's hot chicken, that's like enough calories for a month. And
a lot.
Your next trip to the toilet is going to look like the eruption of Mount Vesuvius.
Them tendies are big.
Might have to make a trip to the ER.
38.50.
You'd have to be going them, double tendies if you're going to eat 20 of them.
Double big. Tendies, one in each hand.
Dang, girl. Some big tendies.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
not good.
No. All right, my hot take: the Dallas game on Thursday, TNT national broadcast, the good TNT night, not that Tuesday night weak sauce, but the Chuck Shaq Kenny TNT night.
Chuck,
that's supposed to be like Bucks, but
Chuck.
Yeah, but my problem is I can't do it like you guys. My vocal range just doesn't go that low. I can't put the drawl on it like you guys can.
Big old Chuck.
See, I can't do that.
I think JD just called us all white trash.
No. It's a tone of voice.
Can't get that drawl, you can.
Yeah.
Anyway. I've got the Thunder with a statement win against the Mavericks on national TV. A win that has the TNT guys post-game talking about why Shai Gilgeous-Alexander should be MVP this season.
Ooh, I like it.
Especially with the two big men on that show, and Chuck and Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is a statement win where Shai balls the hell out, and there's a talk about Shai is the MVP of the league.
I like that take so much, I'm going to give it a mild.
Ooh.
Because you don't have to watch a lot of Inside the NBA to know that they're just willing to let takes fly off the handle whenever and wherever.
This is all it would take is like, a win. Yeah.
It may not even take that great of a game for someone to say that just because.
I had medium for that reason. But I was going to say, Jacob, if you'll give us a specific as to something like insane that Shai does in this game, like, is it a 40 piece? I'd bump you up to like in between a hot, extra hot.
40 piece tendy.
40 piece.
Give me 38-8-9 on 60-40-90 splits in the game.
Yeah, I love it. Hot, spicy.
All right.
That's a little hot.
That's the MVP performance that we're looking for Shai to really take control of this narrative. Ending the regular season.
I mean, to like, it, right? If that was the take of like that gets like the national narrative rolling in his direction, it's got to be something like that because that's what Jokic did.
Just
that's the best thing that's ever happened on this podcast.
Taylor
did a literal spit take, and his camera has liquid on it.
You want to just die?
Subbed out? You need to get subbed out for a second.
No recovering from that.
Get subbed out, Taylor.
Woo!
Taylor looks redder than Santa Claus right now.
Oh man!
My goodness.
Anyway, That's what Jokic did. I feel like his performance against the Celtics was like, everyone was like, well, give him the MVP. And whether or not it's fair, that's how these awards get decided most of the time. It's a moment, right? Like, the season matters, obviously, but like, they're looking for the narrative in the moment. Shea needs to do it on a stage like that. I'm just going to keep talking until everyone can breathe.
You guys can't see it on the live stream. We can see who's backstage, and all I can see is Taylor's room with him not there. And it's like very fuzzy because there's spit on the camera. Oh my God. I can't believe that just happened. I know what the YouTube short is for tomorrow.
Oh gosh. Incredible.
Justin, why don't you tell us some of the fans' hot takes of the week?
Sure. Let's do that.
Where are we?
All right. Nick Jordan says, hot take, in J-Dub's absence, Chet will become a monster.
I like it. Chet, not a great game from Chet tonight, as far as like offensively, but holy shit, was he everywhere on defense. Like, that third quarter, he was just, I mean, he made everybody look like a little boy. I'm going to give this one like a mild.
Ooh, okay.
I'm feeling more medium here. I just think Chet's kind of beat the hell up right now, I think. He's kind of just going through it. Like,
quite pretty, literally.
Pretty quiet night tonight, like offensively at least. The defense, absolutely still there. I just don't know if the offense is going to.
The shot is just kind of flat. Yeah.
Yeah, he looks exhausted.
Like, if you look at the trajectory of his jump shot tonight.
I just almost died live on the podcast. You guys almost had to sit in ER as I choked.
Yeah, I never even thought once about calling 911. Not going to lie.
Just going to watch me die on the live stream.
It did start to look like a crime scene for a while.
Would have been great for numbers. All right. Keeping on the chat train.
Caleb says, Chet averages 8+ rebounds the rest of the season. Where are we putting this one?
Oh, I don't think that's super hot either.
I might have to go light mile, Caleb. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, where's he at on the season right now?
That's what I was just about to ask.
I am looking it up. So talk while I look it up.
So talk while I look it up.
7.8 on the season.
Wow. Yeah,
I stand by Light Mild.
Light Mild. Dang, you love to see it. Sean in the chat. Jay Will takes one more charge every game this week than JD has ever taken at Paycom.
You know,
so one.
The one. The I appreciate that Sean has kept this alive.
He's committed to the bit.
Yeah, and I'm all for bits. But you have to, bits don't work unless you commit to them just forever. So I appreciate it, Sean.
Next up, Robert. Thunder win the three remaining games this week by 15+ each.
Ooh. That one's extra hot. That's got some heat on it.
Pacers, Mavericks, and Grizzlies again.
15's a lot, man.
That's a lot.
I'm going extra hot, but this is my winner of the week.
I like it. We got one more, so don't declare it too soon.
Oh, Robert.
A smooth.
Okay, breaks.
Thunder play in the Western Conference Finals and win.
Win.
No spies.
Homer.
No, that's a great one. But that's pretty spicy as of right now.
Yeah, I'm signing the waiver. I'm going Reaper on that one. I would eat
I refuse
a Reaper
to sign any government document, so I'm not putting my name down.
All right, so are we giving it to Robert? Is that the consensus?
I think Robert's got it. Robert, hey, either email us or DM us on social media, Robert, with your mailing info. I will send you some stickers. We've already had somebody order a shirt tonight.
Oh, my God.
DM'd us. Make sure to get that shirt ordered. Send me a screenshot on any of the uncontested social channels, and I will send you free stickers. Gentlemen. Kind of, I think, especially following Smoot's comment about the Western Conference Finals, I thought we could talk some playoffs tonight. We are about a month out from the end of the regular season. Time flies. And when that happens, we will be back in playoff basketball for the first time in 4 years. Is that right?
That is right.
That's wild.
Damn. 2020 bubble season.
That is wild. What seed do we think the Thunder end up? I have a handful of questions about the playoffs. I figured we'd start with this one. What seed do the Thunder end up in? I have the standings for you. So the Wolves are playing right now. So this is subject to change. But as of right now, the Thunder are one full game up on the Wolves and tied the head-to-head. I think the Thunder lose the tiebreaker because I believe it goes to division. The Thunder are one full game up on the Nuggets and own the tiebreaker, which means the Nuggets would have to finish better than the Thunder to be ahead of them. A tie does nothing for the Timberwolves. The Clippers are 3.5 games back from OKC. OKC has the tiebreaker in that one as well, which means even if the Clippers tie Oklahoma City, they still fall below them. They would have to outright beat Oklahoma City. With that information right now, 1, 2, 3, or 4, where does Oklahoma City end the season at seeding-wise?
I'm going to lead us off with the one seed. I think it's just absurd that that's like a real possibility at this point. But the tiebreakers is what's making me feel that way. In addition to like Cat's injury can't be ignored with Minnesota, I feel like Denver, I don't know that they're going to be making like a big all-out push. Like they're going to be good because they're Denver and they're always going to be good this year. But like, I don't think they're going to be gunning for it. Like I could see the Thunder kind of gunning for it, whether or not they admit that publicly. Just how cool of a milestone would that be? And I think that combined, like I said, with the tiebreakers, it's going to happen.
I'm like still dying over here, like trying not to clear my throat live on the podcast. That was horrific.
You do know
one of the worst jokes of my life. I know. I've already been muting and coughing.
Okay, just making sure.
Hey, once the pot is over, you just go scream outside for a while.
And... What was the beverage that you regurgitated? Was it carbonated?
Actually, no. It actually was not. Okay. Like it was something to do with like a hiccup or something. I don't know, but I'm still like,
because if you've ever had a carbonated beverage, like coming out your nose,
that did not happen.
The worst.
Thank goodness. Yeah. Anyways, I also was going to say one seed because of the Cat injury, not to jinx anything either, but the Lakers are currently up 6 against the Timberwolves, still with a lot of basketball to play. Obviously, that would be huge for OKC as well. I just think they're going to separate themselves, and we'll get into our weekly predictions here soon, that, yeah, I think they're going to end up with that one seed, which is just insanely impressive. Crazy. If that's the case.
JD, before you give your answer, just a little bit of context. Nuggets and Wolves play each other 3 more times in these final 19. That seems pretty significant.
Yep.
Those tiebreakers, pretty significant. And I don't know about you, JD, but for me, like, I feel like it's a conversation for 1, 2, and 3. I feel like they've surpassed 4 at this point. The Clippers would have to gain 4 games and 19 left. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, barring some other factor happening, if they continue at this pace, I don't think 4 is in question. I think I'm going to go 1-2. It almost feels like, I don't want to say it's more likely that they get 1 than not at this point, but they own the tiebreakers. Cat is out. The Nuggets are going to get up for the big games to kind of, you know, like an iron sharpens iron thing, that like the Celtics game, they were obviously trying really hard. But the other games, like Justin said, they're probably going to let their foot off the gas a little bit. They might rest some guys. Jamal Murray gets hurt often. Let that guy rest. And the Thunder want it. The Thunder want it badly. And I think that would, one, be a gigantic achievement. None of us could have predicted that. It will give SGA maybe a little less than, I don't know where you guys are standing as far as MVP right now, but that would give him the best shot to win that award.
I agree.
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah, and just a hell of a badge for the season to do that. I think that's likely.
I feel like I need to go contrarian here.
I think you do.
Let's call it Mexico.
I kind of feel like it's number one, dude. Like, and that's what The reason I feel like it's number one is because of those three Denver-Minnesota matchups.
Those are big.
I don't think one team wins all three of those. And if they split them, let's say Minnesota without Cat loses two of the three, I mean, that's kind of paving the way for the Thunder. The Thunder do have some very tough stretches of basketball upcoming that I think will say a lot about them. But, I mean, if it's not one, I think it's two.
Yep. They really do have a tough stretch to in March into April.
And, I don't think any of us are looking past the first round at this point. But if you were to, I think being the one seed, this is the most no shit comment in the world. Yeah, you should have the one seed if you want to go deep in the playoffs. Of course. But I just, of the other three teams in the top four, I feel really good about that matchup with the Clippers. I feel really good about that matchup with the Clippers. I mean, the Thunder, beat the brakes off of them the two of the three times. And the third time was a really competitive game out in LA, I believe on the second night of a back-to-back. I think the Thunder match up pretty well with them, all things considered. I mean, that's not to say they're going to sweep them, but I think it's a good matchup for OKC. So if you were looking for a path to the Western Conference Finals, I think it's being the one seed, playing whoever's at eight, winning that, going on, playing the Clippers round two, and then you probably get to the Western Conference Finals and play the Denver Nuggets. And Denver, you probably get smoked, but it is what it is. Could you imagine if they were in the Western Conference Finals?
I don't know if they'd even get smoked. I wouldn't predict them to win the series, but the excitement there, them getting to play in front of their home crowd as the one seed, having that home court advantage in that Western Conference
Finals. Dude, games one and two of the Western Conference Finals in Oklahoma City would be insane.
And that's why I don't think they necessarily get smoked, especially as they're currently on a 9-game home win streak.
Could you imagine game one, Dub hits this big shot in the fourth quarter, all of Paycom just... I would lose it.
That first scene of the matching t-shirts and Paycom is going to hit different.
Oh my gosh.
I can't wait.
Okay, so we've talked about what seed we think the Thunder will get. I want to talk a little bit about matchups because I think it's pretty much set in stone. We know who the top four in the West are going to be. We just don't know the order. And I think we know who the top 10 in the West are going to be. We just don't know the order. I would also say we are almost to a point, almost to where we know who 8, 9, and 10 will be. The Suns are a game up on Dallas between that 7 and the 8. It's got a little bit closer. If the Lakers win tonight, it gets really close. But there feels like there's a little bit of separation with the Warriors and the Lakers there, and then the Mavs and the Suns above them. The 5 through 10 are New Orleans Pelicans, Sacramento Kings, Phoenix Suns, Dallas Mavericks, LA Lakers, Golden State Warriors. 11 is Houston, and Houston is not cracking that top 10. It's not happening. So I wanted to take some time. We don't have to get super in-depth here, but I wanted to rank preference of opponent in the first round as far as who you think they can beat. Justin and I started this conversation a little bit on Friday, and it kind of sucks that if they are the one seed, they will be the last team to know their playoff opponent, which kind of kills a lot of your prep work, right? Whoever's three, the end of the regular season, you know who you're playing. You might know who you're playing a week out from the end of the regular season. But if you're the eight seed, if you're the one seed, you have no clue until that second play-in game is done. Even the second seed knows after the first play-in game who they're playing at seventh. So it makes things kind of difficult. How do you guys feel about that? And then let's talk some matchups in the first round.
It's a very good point. You're kind of at a bit of a disadvantage there. in the Western Conference, where like in reality, it's supposed to be like it doesn't really matter because those are supposed to be the bottom teams in a conference, and then they work their way up, and you know they're supposed to be kind of level. But when you look at like the Lakers and the Warriors potentially being two of those teams who could make it to the eighth seed, I mean that's just the reality of the West. I don't know. This isn't going to happen in the first round. It's just about impossible now. But I still really like the Pelicans. I just don't quite believe in them as a team in the playoffs. In a 7-game series, I think the Thunder could easily beat them in the first round. But again, that's not likely to happen.
So you would take Pelicans as your number one most preferred team, Taylor?
I think so. I mean, I also kind of like going up against the Kings, even though the Thunder haven't played well against them in the regular season. But I'll save that for one of you all.
Justin, who would be your number one preferred team?
I think Taylor makes good points. Pelicans are interesting just because, again, I feel like the matchups have – they're tough, man. Nobody on that Pelicans roster can really slow down Shea. Though you can probably say that about most teams, right? That's why he's in the MVP discussion. The Kings is interesting because – you know, I felt this way the last time they played when I predicted the Thunder would win. It just feels, even though they couldn't ever get over the hump, what was it, like 6 in a row, 7 in a row that they lost? It never felt like they were totally outclassed. It was just like the Kings were just kind of gritty, like Sabonis would do what he did down low. But that feels, in a 7-game series, that feels overcomable. And there's something about like those two small market teams that make it kind of fun. Those arenas would be lit in that series. That would be very exciting. I'm going to say something weird, and I think it's the Suns.
I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you. Yeah.
I know you wouldn't, because I feel like you've said that before.
Mm-hmm.
You're speaking Jacob's language, for sure.
Couple of times.
It would be a stressful series. But I'm not sure any of these series would not be stressful, honestly. I think the Suns just feel broken, and they have a lot of star power, but not a lot else going for them. They feel like a poorly constructed 2K team.
JD?
This question freaks me out a lot because I'm not ready for the playoffs mentally or emotionally at all.
Yes.
It's kind of between two teams for me. Or I could tell you one I just don't want to see at all, but I'll go with the two teams. Sacramento, I think I'm going to go with also. For a lot of the reasons Justin said, it doesn't feel like the Thunder are just outclassed. Sacramento's not a deep team at all, really. Like, Kevin Huerter is a bigger name role player who has been really bad in the playoffs. Like, all of his numbers dip in the playoffs every year. It's really just Fox, Sabonis, and then some question marks from a scoring standpoint. You have Malik Monk, pretty dang good. And then you have, who is the rookie they drafted last year? I can't think of his name. Keegan Murray. Those are kind of your guys on Sacramento. And then it's some question marks beyond then, I think. So I think in a 7-game series, the Thunder would have a schematic advantage like every game. I think Sabonis is going to get targeted from Mark's offense. And I think that's Thunder would win out ultimately. The other one, it's the Warriors. Is that scary? Yes, because Steph Curry is there. But I think for similar reasons, it's just a lot of question marks. Like, what are you getting from Andrew Wiggins, if anything? What are you getting from Klay Thompson? Hopefully not just hellfire in the Paycom Center. Hopefully not that. what are you getting from Draymond? I don't know. Jonathan Kuminga.
What is kicking the nuts is what you're getting from Draymond.
Yeah, like that would be a very toxic series for sure, but I think the Thunder could win. I think...
Exercise
some demons, you know, turn the page on the old era completely. That I like that the Warriors play small also. Like the size question, we're not going to hear about that every single game.
True.
And I like that. And I don't know. I'm sure you guys can guess the one team I don't want to see. Probably get to that at some point. But.
Yeah, we'll get to that in just a second.
Yep.
Whenever I was like very much younger than I am now, I used to think when people said exercise demons, they were like doing fitness.
Working them out.
On the treadmill. Yeah. I mean, demons,
I love that.
Demons can sweating do out those demons.
Hot yoga, baby.
JD, I think I'm with you on Golden State. I just don't think they're that great. I don't think they have a matchup that exposes OKC. Like the Kings, I kind of like that matchup because the Kings just have not been a great basketball team. But the Sabonis aspect kind of scares me. Yep. Same thing. Like there's a reason the Lakers are ninth in the West because they're not that great. But they just pose some specific problems, especially like the Anthony Davis issue. Golden State just doesn't have that for Oklahoma City. You know, like, I am perfectly okay. Like, J-Dub guarding Kuminga doesn't scare me. Dort guarding Steph doesn't scare me. Draymond guarding Chet doesn't scare me. Like, I'm fine with every matchup that they have. And I think the Thunder have the better bench.
Agreed. I was going to say the Golden State Warriors just don't have depth at all. I mean, they had a 2A player recently signed for the remainder of the season because they needed him moving forward.
They just,
and Wiggins has been awful for their Wiggins, Andrew Wiggins.
Oh, I'd love to see, I'd love the Wiggins on Wiggins matchup. Yeah.
Aaron versus Andrew.
Love it'd be dope. I think the Thunder would win that series. And I think that's who I would go with at number one.
I like it.
Who is the worst matchup?
Silva, lead us off.
Well, I have a sounder that is not going to be true in the playoffs. I just kind of want a reason to play the sounder. So here it is. The Thunder are giving the Lakers a Christmas gift, and it's a pile of shit.
I don't think I've heard that one before.
Yep. It's a seasonal one. One of our seasonal sounders. It's the Lakers, though. It's the Lakers, though, for matchup reasons only. Like, if I were to look at the Lakers in a vacuum, I don't think they're that good. But the Lakers against the Thunder, they play like it's the last game of basketball they're ever going to play. Mm-hmm. Every time they play against the Thunder, for whatever reason. Anthony Davis, like, reverses his age by 5 years when he plays the Thunder. And
the only good thing is, Data Davis might only show up for, like, two games in that series.
Right. Yeah,
Data Davis is good. Data Davis is good. I don't know. I just see Austin Reeves acting different, playing against OKC. He's doing things I don't agree with. LeBron, they're going to shoot.
Usually do.
They're going to shoot roughly, you know, 32 to 42 free throws every game.
Oh, dude, that would piss me off. That and D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, might make me consider coming on this podcast with a gun.
Yeah. All right.
These are not good things to say.
No, I would hate it. I would hate not just the basketball experience, but the surrounding experience. I'd have to hear, you know, 45 minutes of Dave McMenamin on Zach Lowe saying the Lakers are going to sweep. It would be exhausting.
And just the national narrative, like all the national broadcasts, national shows rooting for the Lakers, wanting that so bad. Being able to say that the Thunder are just too young after they lose like one game. Be very obnoxious.
I don't think many teams would pick the Thunder to win that series. Am I crazy for that?
No, I'm with you. Wolves and Lakers. Lakers actually ended up going up 10 after I mentioned them being up 6. They're now tied at 84. Here come the Wolves heading into the fourth quarter. So there you
go. Justin Taylor, would you guys agree Lakers is probably the worst matchup?
Yeah, I agree, especially looking at those teams kind of stuck there at the bottom of the West.
I say no. I say Nuggets.
Nuggets.
Yeah,
first round. First round, brother. Round.
Not in general.
Oh, first round. Okay.
Yes.
First round.
You are correct. Been fine.
Okay. I was going to say, like, listen,
you guys are crazy.
I was literally just about to say, like, listen, I know we had some bad games against the Lakers, but okay. First round specifically, then yes, I agree.
So let me tell you guys what my order of preference would be. And tell me where you would make changes. You ready?
Sure.
This is from most comfortable.
I get distracted every time you say the word preference. I hear the taxidermy.
I know. I almost played it, but it was too late.
Go ahead and play it.
My preference is to be taxidermied when I die.
Thank you.
Every time.
From most confident to least confident, here is my order. Golden State. Sacramento Kings. Phoenix Suns, New Orleans Pelicans, Dallas Mavericks, Los Angeles Lakers.
I'll buy that.
Yeah, I'm buying that.
I'd bump up the Pelicans just a little higher simply because, like, Lucas scares me so much in a playoff series, and Kyrie, if he's healthy.
I think the Thunder could sweep them, and I think the Thunder could be swept by the
Mets. Right. And I just don't see, like, Zion and B.I., they're awesome, but neither of them have the star power that even, like, a Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors have. So that's the only reason I would bump up the Pelicans a little higher, but other than that, I agree with that list.
I wish Josh Richardson was still on the Pelicans, so like he and Josh Giddey could have their little beef again. That was cool.
Yeah,
for the playing game last year.
Yes. All right, we ready to go to a break before we wrap this bad boy up?
Yep.
Let's do it. We'll be right back.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
And we are back. Close out the show. We got to make some predictions, Justin.
Yes, we do.
Have you done the math?
I hope I've done it correctly this time.
I hope so too, buddy.
We do have an update in the prediction standings. No movement in the leaderboard.
But damn,
Jacob extended his lead by a point.
Ooh, it is
4-0,
tight.
Baby. 4-0 week.
Jacob goes 4-0 last week to extend his lead by 1 point over the field. He's sitting at 41 points. Nick right behind at 39. Silva next at 34. Myself and Taylor tied at 33. Taylor made up ground this week as well.
Yes.
He is now tied for last, but you're going to stay last in the graphic, buddy. I make the graphics.
It's only fair.
Yeah, so it's still anyone's race, it feels like, but we're definitely getting down to it. It's starting to feel like maybe the Jacob or Nick show here.
Bastards, both of you.
Time to change the rules, I say.
Yeah, that's late, right. Early.
I better not lose to Nick. All right, we have, I believe, three games on the docket this week. First one is the Indiana Pacers. For some reason, I almost said New Orleans Pacers, and I have no clue why.
That's weird, dude.
The Indiana Pacers come to town Tuesday night. We mentioned earlier, Ben Mathurin out for the season with a torn labrum. But the Tyrese Halliburton show makes its way to Oklahoma City. JD, what do you have happening in Oklahoma City against Indiana on Tuesday night?
Well, I've got a W for a lot of reasons, but the Pacers aren't that good at defense. And although they are bigger than the Thunder, they don't really use their size to, you know, dominate on the boards or anything like that. I know that because I keep taking Pascal Siakam in the old parlay, and he fails me every time for rebounds. So,
Taylor?
I also have the W here. Even without J-Dub, if he's unable to play or maybe he's not 100%, I just really like the matchup, like Silva mentioned. I don't see the Pacers being able to stop OKC defensively, and that's what it really comes down to. If the Thunder can lock in defensively and if they can hit those open outside shots, I see them winning this one pretty easily to get their 10th straight win at home. That's something we're talking about here in a couple nights.
Justin?
I have the win as well. I think Indiana, like you said earlier, the defense is not there. They're 6-4 in their last 10. And I looked it up. You want to know who they beat in that stretch? Detroit, New Orleans, Orlando, and Dallas twice, while losing to Toronto, also New Orleans, San Antonio, and Minnesota. So my takeaway from looking at that was like, weird, man. Like, they're going through some stuff right now.
because to beat Dallas twice and lose to San Antonio, is that's just weird basketball.
That is
who strange. Loses to San Antonio? Am I right?
Halliburton's been having some weird games lately.
I took the L. I agree with you guys that I don't think the Pacers are going to be able to stop Oklahoma City very frequently. It's the Pacers' offense and the pace and space and shooting threes. I'm afraid that the Thunder are just asleep at the wheel for a little bit defensively. There's a chance they will be. It just doesn't feel like my favorite matchup. And so for that, I'm taking the L. Nick sent in his picks from the cartel. He is also taking the L against the Indiana Pacers. Two nights later, the 9:30 Central Time tip-off against the Dallas Mavericks. Justin, Luka Doncic comes to town. What happens in that game?
Not only does Luka Doncic come to town, but he comes to town on a back-to-back.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They play the Warriors in Dallas on Wednesday night, a game that I hope goes to many, many overtimes. and it's a big stage. It's a big game. We've talked about it multiple times on this show. I think OKC wins a big one on national TV.
Love it. JD?
On this note, Jacob, I sent you the wrong prediction for one of mine. I'll have to adjust that in real time on this
podcast. Okay.
And you'll see why, because it is insane. It is an insane thing.
I saw it, and I was like, what in God's name is this man thinking?
Not,
you're really swinging
not,
for the fences here, but okay.
Was not my intent there. But, yeah, I totally knew that the Mavericks were on the second half of back-to-back there. That's exactly why I picked this as a W.
Okay. Taylor.
I am being the contrarian here. I'm a little afraid I had these two first games maybe swapped, but I just felt like another win, another 3-0 prediction for me was a little too much. I took the L against the Luka Doncic and the Mavs on the national stage. It would be pretty crazy if the Thunder rattle off another two straight wins here. And that's really my reasoning.
I took the W. I've already said it, my Dave's hot chicken, hot take of the week. I think they're going to have a hell of a game. I think it's going to be one of those Shea MVP level performances. I think the team's going to perform really well. I think they're going to beat the Dallas Mavericks. Our friend Nick, this just in, Nick is taking the L with the money ball of the week.
Spicy.
So good for Nick. They end the week Saturday night out in Memphis against a team that just beat the brakes off of, who might want revenge. I'll lead us off on this one. I took a W and a money ball in this one. And then Nick also took a W, but again, his money ball was the loss to the Mavericks. JD.
Now here's where I messed up. I sent Jacob L money ball for this game, which I cannot, look, we can do a vote here. If I need to be overruled, I'll do it. It's fine.
You know, that might not be,
So you're saying you meant to take the W money ball?
I meant to take the W money ball, but I sent you L money ball, which could
You sent me L money ball, and I thought, this man is stretching to try to make up
games. I don't hate that, though, because if the Thunder rattle off two straight wins,
that's a
I
bad could see pick, them. JD.
And then the Grizz get like pissed off after tonight's game. I could see it.
No.
Jean-Jacques Rousseau going to go for 40 against us?
Yes. That's right. GG Jackson game.
JD can have the we will override.
I agree.
Thank you.
There's crazy. Generosity. There's batshit crazy. And then there's locking in the Grizzlies beating the Thunder.
That would be a psychotic move by me. So.
Yeah, I had a Thunder W money ball as well.
Same.
Easy enough.
Justin, I can't take too many chances. Got to play it safe.
Speak for yourself.
JD, I think that does it for us tonight.
I reckon it does.
Hey, Justin's going to tweet out those t-shirt graphics. Get over to cottonbureau.com. Order yourself the Dogs t-shirt. We should have a new rule. Anytime someone says dogs on the podcast, everyone else has to bark.
What a dog doing?
Let's try it again. You ready? Go get yourself a dog's t-shirt. Beautiful. We got the Holy Chet and the Rumble the Bison.
Ha ha! That got Rumble going. My dog Rumble. not Rumble the Bison.
So go get yourself a t-shirt. Thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. I think a record number in the live stream this evening, which is insane. Thank you guys so much. If you're still here and you haven't yet, go hit that like button because it very obviously works. If people are telling me it's popping up and they're recommended for you. So please go hit that like button. If you're watching a YouTube video, maybe Monday at work, Monday during class, make sure to drop that like video as, or that like on the video as well. And if you're listening to the podcast version, please drop the 5-star rating. That would mean a ton to us. We will be back Wednesday night. No podcast after Tuesday's game. We will save our reactions for that for the Wednesday night show. Wednesday night, the 6-year anniversary of the Lowly Uncontested podcast. We've been DeGenerates for 6 years, boys. Love it. Incredible.
Crazy.
So come join us as we celebrate 6 years of podcasting. Hopefully with a win. We'll be back Thursday after. No, will we be back Thursday? I think Nick has the post game Thursday at like midnight. So come hang out with him. And then Sunday, we're back again at 9 o'clock as always. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Mark your calendars. Come hang out with us April 5th. That's a Friday night at 6 p.m. to watch the Thunder take on the Pacers up in Indiana at Dave's Hot Chicken in Oklahoma City. Need to see all of you guys there showing out for Dave's. It's going to be a blast. We're going to give stuff away, have food specials, the whole nine yards. Enjoy the beginning of your week. Enjoy this team. Enjoy this podcast. And we will see you again Wednesday night. Until then, and as always, Thunder up.